This is an IEEE Computer Society podcast. I'm David Alan Greer, and this is a special update for the podcast entitled Marketplace of Ideas. The Marketplace of Ideas was the GRID, the large-scale collaborative project that encircles the globe. It comes out of the supercomputer world, the people trying to get large amounts of computing power when they need it to solve difficult and unusual tasks. What intrigues me is not so much its ability to command large amounts of computing power, but its place, which may be special, may be a unique place in the computer world, as the start of the intergenerational dialogue. One of the things that marks us as people is our ability and our need to transmit ideas from generation to generation. We do it in ways explicit and in ways subtle. Part of it comes from the stories we tell, the knowledge that we put in our schools, the way we dress, the landscape and landmarks we identify. In computing, we have done that to an extent, but it's been done in a way that the generations are very fast, a year and a half, 14 months, perhaps faster than that. And it's done in a way that a lot of information is lost. Textbooks are, of course, a major way of transmitting intergenerational knowledge. But if you follow textbooks of any kind, you will see the changes, the way ideas are being rarefied, the way examples change from year to year and generation to generation. Mathematics is one of the most stable forms of knowledge. The calculus that we teach our children today dates back to the mid-18th century. It's not quite the calculus of Newton, although that still makes its presence known. But it certainly was in place by 1780, and the forms that we use certainly by 1820. Still, calculus textbooks have changed, and quite radically. We use different ideas to transmit ideas. We take certain things and limit their presence, and we expand others. Part of this is due to the fact that we are a people that no longer has quite the contact with the physical world that we used to have, and the intrigue with motion and power and force. Part of it is we have found other uses for it, particularly in economics and the social science. And part of it is that we understand it differently. Computer science, this is even more true. The textbooks of the 50s are quite tentative. They're quite proud of the ideas they have, but they're not sure they're doing it in the best of forms. And so certain things come up and are repeated in them that we would never tolerate today. Some of those ideas are even picked up. If you look at, for example, simulation textbooks, they often pick up one of von Neumann's early ideas for generating random numbers, an idea that von Neumann abandoned before his death in 1957. Yet because it was first, and perhaps because von Neumann said it, it has been carried through textbooks. Other aspects, algorithms, the way we program, the ideas behind organizing systems, all of these have roots, but as you trace the textbooks, they are refined, they are modified, they are updated. They're sort of like movies. I've discovered that the youth of today find it difficult to look at black and white movies. There's a restlessness about it. I'm not sure if it's restlessness because the movie's in black and white. That may be the case, though they certainly from time to time see exceptions to their full color masterpieces. It may be camera movement. Movies of the 30s, movies of the 40s had pretty still cameras. We now have technology that allows them to dip and swing and move. Not sure on that, but I'm not a movie theorist and I don't have to be. In the same way, we see textbook knowledge changing. We've also seen knowledge about systems, knowledge about how we use machines, software, all of which rotate through generations. What I'm thinking the GRID is going to change is that it's going to allow us to define a software system. And though we often pitch software as changeable, it has its own way of being fixed and immutable. In some ways, it's best not to describe software as changeable, but as customizable. We get something for ourselves, we set it up the way we want it, and we use it ever since. I suspect that if you looked at my computer, the way I set up the desktop, the software that I use, you will see echoes of earlier processors and earlier software systems. I'd be surprised if the way I write is not somehow dependent upon the old 1960s Burroughs Candy editor. It's the first one I learned, and parts of it were with me for quite some time. You rarely forget the things that you learned in your youth, whereas the things that you learn much later are in your mind for a moment and are gone. Will we, in fact, define our lives, our interface to work, through a software system that, in fact, remains ours, that has remnants of the first ideas that we were taught, even as it updates and changes and moves forward? It's a question I think the grid may give us at least a little insight into, and we will see where it takes us. This has been a special update, the third, to the In Our Time podcast, which was entitled The Marketplace of Ideas. This podcast was based on an essay, which was originally published in the October 2009 issue of Computer, which is a publication of the Computer Society. More about Computer and the Computer Society can be found at www.computer.org. To find the information about Computer, go to the Publications tab, and then from there to Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts can be found at the bottom of that front page. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them. You can send them to podcasts@computer.org. I need to tell you that the music for this podcast, as well as for all of my podcasts, come from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. You'll find it at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening. This is David Alan Greer, and I'll catch you next time.